Straight Talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
G'day, dear listeners. I'm coming to you from the desert. This is Ross Nichols of Israel on My Mind and my faithful and cheerful co-host, Jono Vandor, all the way from Australia, bringing you all this happy goodness.
Happy goodness. This is in Israel 21C. This, Ross, is, I think, one of the most captivating article titles I've ever come across. You ready? I'm going to read it to you. The contact lenses for the nose that might help you lose weight. Abigail Klein-Lightman, well done. That's one of the best article headlines I've ever seen. It goes on to say, revolutionary drug-free soft silicon device called NozNoz, which can curb appetite and change metabolism, is what it claims.
Wow.
Now, it's basically just silicon tubes that you stick into your nose so that the air that you breathe bypasses the receptors in your nostrils so that you're using your nose to breathe only and not to smell. Therefore, the scent of food that might entice your appetite are not stimulated. Therefore, you eat less. Therefore, you lose weight. I think I've summarized it fairly well.
Man, I don't know that I would like that, but if I were really trying to lose weight, you know, a lot of people are trying to lose weight, so they so desperately want to lose, they'll do anything.
Man. There is a pilot trial of the device was held by Dr. Dror Dickerhead of the obesity. I'm not kidding. There's actually a comma there. Dr. Dror Dickerhead of the obesity clinic.
Oh, okay.
Hasharon Hospital Rabin Medical Center. This is one paragraph and it's an entire sentence. I'm going to read it again. A pivotal trial of the device was led by Dr. Dror Dicker, head of the obesity clinic at Hasharon Hospital Rabin Medical Center in Petah Tikva, president of the Israeli Association for the Study of Obesity and co-chair of the Obesity Management Task Force of the European Association for the Study of Obesity.
Wow.
That's one sentence, Abigail.
So the only comma is between the guy's name and his title, and otherwise it just flows on and on and on and on.
It's one paragraph and it's one sentence. That's what I'm saying. Anyway, what they actually are silicon tubes you stick in your nose. All right, we've got so much more to talk about. Oh, my goodness.
I can't wait. This is going to be a fun show, Jono.
We'll be back right after these messages.
In a time where feelings have become fact, where rational thought and common sense has disappeared, one man stands above it all.
I'm Howie Sobiker, your political hitman.
Political Hitman returns to Israel News Talk Radio on October 2nd at 11:59 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 a.m. Israeli Time. Political Hitman, only on Israel News Talk Radio.
Welcome back to your listeners. You are listening to Israel on My Mind with Jono Vandor and Ross Nichols here on Israel News Talk Radio. G'day, mate.
Hello, Jono. How are you?
I'm doing pretty well. Thank you, my friend. You sound like you're in a cave or something. What's going on with all that reverb?
Look, tell you, I'm quiet. I'm trying to be quiet, but the echo is because I'm in Israel. I'm at Biblical Tamar Park, and I'm in the kitchen facility, which is a little bit big, a little bit echoey. So if you can stand it, this is nice because it's convenient. It's sort of my working office here in the desert. I've got food. I've got everything I need. And Jono, I have to tell you, I'm scared to go outside.
Now wait, before you tell me about that. Now you've been there for the last few days. You're there pretty much by yourself. You are by yourself in the desert, right?
I am.
You're working on a project, and we're just going to let people know you are working on a project. We're going to talk about that in programs to come, but it's very exciting.
Yep.
You've got some solitude to do what you're doing. However, it's not without its challenges. Go on.
Okay. Okay. All right. So look, I love the desert. I am in the Negev. I am about 30 kilometers south of the Dead Sea. Like if you look around, and you've been here, you and William came here with me, you know exactly where I'm at.
I know you are.
So it's a pretty deserted place, but I love it. It is the phenomenal place. It's called Biblical Tamar Park for our listeners. They can look this up. Situated on this property, it's a 53-acre park. There is this ancient Judean fortress, so I can go outside and drink my coffee in the morning. I mean, you know, it's absolutely gorgeous.
It
so,
is.
And normally I just walk around all the time, barefoot or with sandals, you know, at night and take in the sights. But last night, well, let me tell you, well, let me back up. A couple of nights ago, this wonderful Israeli family shows up. You know, and Israelis don't necessarily go by what the sign says. I think the sign says that we close at 5 p.m. So at 9 p.m., this family shows up, and, you know, they want a tour of the place. So I give them a tour. So we were walking around talking about the archaeology here and about the biblical narrative of the stories that take place here. And, you know, we finished up around midnight. So nice little family, just kept the kids out kind of late, if you ask me, but that's okay.
Right.
So, but on our walk, we were walking along, and, you know, my Hebrew is not really, really good, but I hear one of the children say, akrav, akrav, and that means scorpion.
Uh-huh.
And so I say, a foe, like, where? And this person keeps saying, akrav. I know it's a scorpion. I want to know where in the hell the scorpion is, right? See, so I'm saying a Hebrew word, a foe, not real sure of the grammar, like where is this scorpion? Mm-hmm. But anyway, so I got the photo of the scorpion. You know, scorpions don't really scare me. They're kind of small. You can get away from them as long as you see them. That's fine. It shouldn't scare people from touring here, but I'm telling you that there are creatures out here at night. And now here's the interesting thing. Right down the street here, there in the Tanakh, there are three places. It mentions a place called Ma'ale Akrabim. It means the ascent of the scorpions.
Right.
I thought that the place was called the Scorpion's Pass because it was like twisty and windy, you know, like a scorpion's tail. No, it's called Scorpion's Pass because it's probably full of scorpions. That's probably what's going on.
So,
it's like, don't go.
Well, I got to say, just to, no, so, okay, all right. Me, William and my son and myself, and you, we were there last year. I didn't see one scorpion. Maybe I wasn't looking hard enough, but I did not see one scorpion. You know what else I didn't see?
Either.
I'll tell you what else I didn't see. I didn't see a camel spider. But you were there earlier in the year with your son, Toby, and you encountered a camel spider. Come on, just give us the
deal. No, I'm going to tell you. Look, now, the difference in me and my son Toby is Toby went looking for these things. Like, we both would have flashlights. We both had different purposes for having flashlights at night. His was to find them because he thought it was cool that the little, well, they're not that little. They're actually pretty big. They rear up on their back legs, like six of them, and run at you, like pointing at you, like they're going to get you. So my job with the flashlight is to find them. Yeah, they're crazy. Look it up on YouTube.
No. Wait, what you just said was, wait, a camel spider rears up so it's got eight legs, six of them come up in attack position, and the two lower legs start running at you. Are you serious?
No.
I mean, honestly,
no.
Is that what you're saying? Because what's going through my mind right now is Alien, the movie Alien, Sigourney Weaver, all of that. That's what's going through my mind.
Well, the only difference in what I said and what you interpreted was, I think I said, it's got six legs firmly planted, and the front two little legs are like running at you like pistols, like he's got pistols out.
Right.
So anyway, we both look for these things. And so Toby loved finding these spiders. I didn't love, in fact, I would have been happy had I never had a flashlight because I didn't know they existed. But as soon as you put the flashlight out on the rocks as you walk in the sand, these things don't just, you know how most creatures will go away from you because they're, as they say, they're scared of you more than you're scared of them and all that stuff. Well, these things aren't scared of you at all. They run at you like, I'm going to get you, you big human. It's crazy. So now wait, it gets worse, Jonah. It gets worse.
Go on.
Okay, so I'm last night, you know, I've headquartered here. I've got chores to do throughout the day, and then usually in the evenings I come in here and I work because of the closeness to the kitchen and my coffee pot and so forth.
You're in there because you think it's the safest place. You think it's safe from all of these creatures that are out there waiting to get you. Okay, keep going.
Well, now that is the case. Like the only thing that I'm worried about is there's no restroom facility in here because I was hoping that
sound more and more like the movie The Shining. Like
it is
in my mind. You're like Jack Nicholson in the kitchen.
See me typing. Don't
you're there typing away. All work and no play makes Ross a very dull boy. You're scared to go outside because there's these creatures. Go on, keep going.
Oh, you're not going to believe. So I go last night and I said, you know, I could hear the dog barking, and that could be anything from a camel crossing through because that happens, or it could just be the neighbor's dog barking. So I take my flashlight with me and I go on my way, putting my light through the beautiful orchards. The dog is barking. There's nothing that I can see. So as I walk around the park, I do my little perimeter check at night and make sure things are put up, which I've changed my perimeter check to an earlier time now, by the way. But I'm walking back towards the kitchen, and I come through the gate, and lo and behold, on the path in front of me is a serpent. Oh, my gosh. This serpent is slithering across. He's shiny and black. Head is slightly larger. See, I don't have Bridget with me. Bridget, my wife, she's not scared of stuff like this. She would be standing there going, oh, look, it's a such and such. I see it, and my heart begins to, like, really beat wildly because now it's going another way. It's not coming towards me, but I have the flashlight on it. Now I'm kind of terrified because I'm thinking, what if these things are traveling in pairs? But I don't want to turn the light to see if there's another one coming because I don't want to lose where this one is. So I'm kind of stuck. So the thing slithers off, and I quickly flip the light around, looking back and forth, getting as wide a view as I can with the light.
This sounds like the kind of movie that Toby would star in.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. So I run. No. But then I'm thinking, I don't want to run too fast because I don't want to get ahead of the light beam, see? So I had to kind of play it as I walk. So I tell my friend, the Tylers, I'm talking to them about the snake, and they send me a picture, and they said, is this it? I said, that's my baby right there. Get this. You ready? Oh, my gosh. It's called by different names. The desert black snake, the black desert cobra. Cobra! Oh. Now, look, this isn't the cobra that rears up and has a nice little fanned head like you see in the movies. No, Jono. That's the little Egyptian king cobra. Right. Guess which one has more venom?
Oh, yeah. It's yours?
Yeah. It's mine. It's native in the Middle East. Mm-hmm. It's found in the countries of Egypt, Lebanon, Jordan, Israel, Saudi Arabia, Kuwait. It can be found in Syria. Now, listen to this. I don't want to get into the specifics other than to say that it is nocturnal and it's strictly terrestrial, which I assume means I don't have to worry about this thing being in trees. They just stick to the ground. They're most active around midnight. They pursue their prey. That means they chase you down, Jono. They chase you down.
Not only do these snakes chase you down, but you're telling me that the camel spider chases you as well. I'm getting these images. Don't go out at night. You can't go out at night.
Look, it says there are reports of this snake. It's aggressive when I'm molested. Now, I'm not going to molest a snake. I am not going to molest a snake. Can you imagine? No, but look, it says that
you'll never be able to run for office. If you do.
That's right. No. Absolutely. Not the Supreme Court. No. Look, it says that they immediately, if you aggress them, if you molest them, they immediately bite if they can't get away from you and they know they can't. Right. But here's good news. Here's good news. And then we have to go to a break. Venom is not injected immediately when it bites, but it says that it bites and then it chews and then it wraps around you. So I think if you get bitten, God forbid, by one of these venomous black Israel cobras, If you can get the thing off of you before it starts chewing, you're okay. You're okay.
I'm telling you now. Okay.
But if you don't get it off,
don't go outside. Yeah, I'm telling you, it's like this is the making of a good movie, which Toby should star in. Don't go outside. That's all I'm saying. We do have to go to a break. We'll be back right after. At least I'll be back right after these messages. Don't go away.
Hi everyone, this is Andrea Simintow from Jerusalem, inviting you to drop everything and join me on my show, Pull Up a Chair. We'll visit this week's quirky stories, meet fabulous guests, and discover my Israel. Together we'll laugh, shout, and explain the topics that make us say, hey, we've got to talk about that. So get comfortable and pull up a chair with me, Andrea Simintow, every Thursday on Israel News Talk Radio.
Welcome back, dear listeners. You are listening to Israel on My Mind with John Avandor, and as far as I know, Ross Nichols is still alive in the
still
desert.
I'm still with you.
Oh, good. You're there on Israel News Talk Radio. Now, before we get off the topic, because we went to the break on some of the Israeli wildlife that is plotting against you as we speak, I don't expect you to last much longer. Maybe this is the last time we'll speak. I don't know. But
I hope not. But it could be. It could be.
But it's not. It's
look,
not the...
Jonah, let me tell you. Now, here's the thing. Like, I used to walk out of a building here and just, like, kick a door open and you walk through. Now I push a door open and I look both ways before I step out. I mean, that's how bad it is. Like, I don't want to, you know, get hit by a black cobra or... I mean, look, now I've been here, I don't know, 10, 15 times, and I've never seen anything. But it's like once your eyes are open right. to the dangers around you, then that's they're it. Everywhere. They're everywhere. I've been walking all over these things. Okay, listen to this. The venom, I want to just finish this. Venom is primarily neurotoxic, and effects of this envenomation, I think that's what that says, envenomation, are from the circulation of the toxins rather than from the local effect on the tissue. So what happens is these evil cobras bite you and they chew and wrap around your leg or whatever. And the toxins just circulate through your bloodstream, and then you die. You just that's it. So I'm thinking, my only hope, what am I going to do? There's nothing around here like the yellow gas station. Am I going to hobble up in there if I can make
it? It's either that or it's the crocodile farm on the other side.
Yeah, and what do? Do I jump the fence to go wake my neighbor up and get eaten by a crocodile?
The crocodiles have been put away. I think you're done for. No, I'm telling you, you need to stay inside.
Yeah,
they're plotting against you.
This could be it. This could be it.
But do you know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of a Bible story. Come on, Ross. It reminds me of a Bible story in that very area in regards to snakes. Am I right? Come on, fill us in.
Yeah. But look, Jono, I had used that story to comfort people I bring here. Let me explain. Okay, get ready now.
I'm ready.
The children of Israel, I am in Moses' territory. Now, look, a lot of people believe, well, no, Moses and the children of Israel weren't there, because everyone, Ross, knows that the children of Israel didn't cross into the land in the Torah. You know, as far as we know, the book of Deuteronomy ends with the people of Israel on the edge of the border in the plains of Moab, with Moses giving his final speeches, and then they cross under Joshua at a later point, right? Okay, but get this, Jono. There are two passages in the Bible that describe exactly where I'm at what is all scholars have agreed that we are at biblical Tamar. Now, Tamar is listed in Ezekiel 47:19 and 48:28 as the southern boundary of the land of Israel in the Messianic kingdom, if you will, right? And so technically, again, slightly to my west is the Ascent of the Scorpions, named because scorpions run around there all the time, I guess, with their little tail curled. And that's like 3 kilometers to my west. Directly across to the south and east is Bozrah of Isaiah fame. Who is this who comes from Edom, from Bozrah, and so forth? To my east is the ancient area called Edom. And then up a little bit north is Moab. So, right. So get this. Now, here I am at Biblical Tamar. And as I think about where I'm at, I remember that it's also called Ovot. Now, what I have told people in the past is that when the children of Israel were roaming around in this awesome and scary wilderness, right, because all the snakes and scorpions and all that, they were bitten. Remember, this is from the book of Bamidbar, from the book of Numbers chapter 21. It says that the children of Israel had rebelled against Moses and against Hashem, and because of their rebellion, they were bitten by Nakashim HaSeraphim, the burning, fiery serpents of the wilderness. So when people hear that story, they go, oh, no, Ross, are there serpents here? And I said, no, they're not here. They're further south, see? This is what I've told them. Now, how did I get that? Because in the Bible, it says that after the children of Israel were bitten by these serpents, hang on, let me look around me and make sure none have gotten into the kitchen. No, we're good. I've got my feet pulled up in my chair. I'm sitting Indian style, just in case. And so it says what happened was they get bitten by snakes, and you know the whole story. Well, what they ultimately do is immediately after this story in Numbers chapter 21, it says that the next place they go is a place called Ovot.
Right.
Okay. So what I thought was, and this made me feel better, was I could tell people, no, the snakes are further down, closer to Arad. That's where Numbers chapter 21 begins. That's further west and a little bit maybe north. But here, this is where they come next. There's no serpents mentioned here. Well, let me tell you, they're here. They're out at night. They're crawling around. Now, here's the only thing that makes me feel better. The sand is very white here, you know, so like, snakes are very, very black, so you can see them against the sand. I guess that's the only thing that I can hope for, is that I would see them. God forbid that these things were tan, because then I'd be like, really, I'd be in for
them. Oh my goodness. I'm telling you now, you need to make sure that you are settled inside your quarters before the sun goes down. That's all I'm saying. Yeah.
Toby sent me something, by the way. Yeah. Did I tell you what Toby sent me?
Well, now, just remind everyone who Toby is. So Toby is your youngest son.
He is a
movie star. He has starred in quite a number of, actually, he's starred in quite a number of horror films, which is probably why he's more used to this kind of stuff than you are. He's decided, I'm going to go find the camel spider. Don't worry about that. I'll hunt that camel spider down. I'm telling you now, this is the making of the movie. The snake, the camel spider, and the scorpions. This is something that he could definitely star in. What did he send you?
So I sent him a text last night, really for comfort. You know, I miss him, of course, but I was just hoping to reach out to another human because I'm all alone. And so I sent him a text and I said, hey, man, I miss you out here. And look, we've seen some of your camel spiders and scorpions, and I just saw a snake. And so he writes me back after a few minutes, and he says, just don't resort to smoking the scorpions for fun out there.
Now, before you go on, this is actually a thing. I've read about this. Is it in Pakistan or in Iran or something? It's Afghanistan. I don't know. Somewhere people are smoking scorpions and getting high.
They are. And look, he sends me this thing. This is a real thing. Like, he's joking in a way, but listen to what it says. Scorpions are a cheap high that can last anywhere from 10 hours to 3 days. The high is said to be so powerful that it outstrips heroin and provides a euphoric floating feeling bolstered by the ability to remain completely alert. Now, look, the downside, wait, you know, there's always a downside.
Oh, there's a downside, because I was going to say, you could get absolutely smashed and keep working on your project.
I could, because you could stay up for 10 days. Now, but which I need to do because I've got a lot in front of me on this project. And so if, you know, as with most drugs, there's a very, very sought after high, but it's always accompanied by the downside or the consequences. So here's the downside.
Here we go.
And it's a pretty big one.
Okay.
The person, whoever smokes a scorpion, spends the first
How does one smoke a scorpion? I mean, do you pack a scorpion into your pipe and light it up? I mean, how exactly does one smoke a scorpion? That's all I want to know.
Very, very carefully.
Is it just the tail with the bat, or is it the entire scorpion? Do you just sort of pack it into your pipe and light it up?
I don't know. I wonder if
Who was the person that first discovered this? Who was the person that looked at the scorpion and said, instead of stepping on that one, I've got a different idea.
I think I'm going to smoke it. I'm going to smoke that.
I'm going to pack that into my pipe, light her up, and see what happens. Because I've run out of tobacco.
It's an unlimited supply. If you were camped out here and you said, oh, I just want to stay stoned and smashed for the next however long, 40 years. Let's say you had to spend 40 years in the wilderness. You could smoke these things. Look, but here's the bad deal. Now, look, the first 6 or so hours, the person that smokes these is in excruciating pain while their body adjusts to the toxins. And if that's not enough, it's possible to experience short or long-time memory loss.
Right.
Sleeping and appetite disorders, which usually accompany anything that keeps you up 10 consecutive days,
sure.
And a constant state of delusions or death. And so Toby finishes off his text with the quote unquote or death part is kind of a deal breaker. Don't smoke scorpions. It never even crossed my mind that, you know, I could probably.
Goodness.
You know, I thought about, like, if I could squish enough of these and maybe bag them up and set up a little stand down at the road, maybe I could sell them.
Like
no,
a little
honestly,
lemonade stand outside the yellow petrol station
Yeah. I tell you, it's not, honestly, Jono, that I'm scared to go outside. It's that I'm scared to go outside with no one else at the park because, you know, if I get bit by one of these scorpions or serpents attacked by
every hour. That's what you got
to
do.
Oh, I know. I guess I'm going to have to log in and just post updates saying I survived
I'm still alive. Another hour has passed. And the snakes and the scorpions and the gabble spiders haven't got me yet.
Man. So, you know, it gives a whole new understanding to this idea about this awesome wilderness. The beauty is breathtaking.
I've seen some of the photos.
But so is the venom in all of these creatures. Hey, we got to go to a...
The venom is also breathtaking. Oh, my goodness. We've run out of time. We're going to be back right after these messages. Don't go away.
Israel is located in one of the most volatile areas in the world. Israel is an island of stability in a sea of war and unrest. In the midst of this turmoil, Israel stands out as a beacon of order and human progress. Each week we update you on what's happening in this, the Jewish state, a true light unto the nations. This is Jay Shapiro. Join me every Thursday on Israel News Talk Radio.
Listeners, you are listening to Israel on My Mind with Jono Van Doren and Ross Nichols here on Israel News Talk Radio. You know, Ross, it does say in the Tanakh somewhere, I think it's in Proverbs, it says it's better to live in the desert than to have a nagging wife. Now, that's not the reason why you're there. You don't have a nagging wife. But
Oh, no, not at all.
G'day, Bridget.
Let's get that clear. Hey, Bridget.
Hey, but it does go to some extent to illustrate... It's better to deal with the camel spiders and the scorpions and the snakes.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah. Hey, wait. Look, there's one other verse that comes to my mind when I'm out here that you remember in Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 2. Jeremiah, who is my favorite prophet, Yirmiyahu, says, Oh, that I had in the wilderness, in the Bamidbar, in the wilderness, a place, a hotel, a malon for wayfaring men, that I could just leave this people and get away. Jeremiah wanted badly just to leave the people, not just a nagging wife. In fact, from Jeremiah 16, Jeremiah didn't have a wife to get away from.
True.
But he wanted to get away from the people, and he wanted to go to the wilderness and open a hotel, which is basically what I have here, a hotel, a malon.
That's true. That's great.
Like the hotel from The Shining, right?
Yeah. That's it. All work and no play makes Russ a very dull boy. All right, now listen. Quite a number of weeks ago, we opened up a Pandora's box, and we need to get back to that, as we promised the listeners that we would. What it was about, Russ, was the shtetl, the ultra orthodox wig, right? This was an article in the Times of Israel. Ultra-Orthodox women who prefer long locks for their wigs face backlash. Very, very quickly, ultra-Orthodox women who observe modesty laws, if you like, will wear a wig over their actual hair as a head covering, because the hair, their natural hair, is to be viewed only by their husband. And have I summarized that fairly? Okay.
I think so.
That'll do. Here we are with the shtetl. Now, in New York, it has been reported, and I'm reading here in the article, sexy shtetls are all the rage in the New York area, or at least rage is quite definitely in the air, with some ultra-Orthodox women growing preference for more stylish hairdos, earning condemnation and even accusation of slattiness from their communities. Now, the problem is, as we reported a number of weeks ago, is that some of these wigs, they look too real. Not only are they if it doesn't look like you're wearing a wig, why wear a wig? Because you look like you're not wearing a wig. And it's sort of this catch 22.
Yep.
Not only that, but they're quite stylish. They're keeping up with the trends of hairdos.
Yep.
And thirdly, they're lengthy, and hair length is apparently equated in some circles in ultra-Orthodox circles with promiscuity. Can I say that?
Yeah, I think that's a good way to put it.
Now, so there's been a number of articles in that regard. Let's not go into too much detail there. What it did open, what I opened as a topic. and you do recall I put it out to some rabbis. There are a number of rabbis who listen to the program, and I said, let us know what you think. My question was, can an individual wear a toupee of sorts, or a man bun, right? One of those clip-on man buns.
Uh-oh.
Be passed off as a kippah. I mean, because a shtetl is a...
Because...
A shtetl is a representation of religious observance, right? As too is the kippah. Now, therefore, it stands to reason, I think, that a toupee or a man bun, a clip-on man bun, would serve quite adequately as a religious expression. Could such thing be a kosher kippah? Now, I said this, a little bit in jest. Our wise rabbis, as wise as they are, they had a look at the question at hand and decided, I'm going near that. I'm not going to tell you any. I have nothing to offer on that. I'm staying well away from that topic, and we got no feedback.
No one responded. But you know what happened, though? You did. You posted it. This is a fun show. We're supposed to be bringing a lighter side to things. And you posted this, and we did a little show on it. And remember, there were a couple of our listeners who sort of took things, I think they took it a little bit too seriously.
Well,
and it kind of opened, goodness gracious, what in the world?
There was, at least on my Facebook page, in regards to that particular program, opened up an entire war on Facebook between a number of women saying, is the man bun okay? Is the man bun not okay? And all of a sudden there was this major, major dilemma, which was tearing the world apart, Ross.
Yeah.
And evidently the rabbis knew this and they decided, no, I'm not going to have a hand in this. It really did get out of hand. But you know what? I did a little bit of research and I was surprised to discover that my proposal had already been thought of. This is all the way back January 23, 2015. The headline is Israeli barber selling, quote, magic skull caps. All right?
Magic.
Rehovot, right? Israel. An Israeli barber has fashioned what he calls magic yarmulkes out of hair, designed to allow religious Jews to cover their heads without attracting unwanted attention from anti-Semites. Okay, so if you want to wear, the way this is pitched, if you want to wear a kippah, but you don't want it to look like you're wearing, say you're in Europe, you know, somewhere in Europe, various places where wearing a kippah will attract unwanted anti-Semitism. Hey, put on the magic yarmulke.
It's kind of a secret. It's kind of a secret kippah. It's kind of a. A sneaky. You can be a Jew, but you don't have to let everybody know. It's kind of like akin.
I think it's akin to wearing your tzitzit on the inside. You know, tucking it into your clothes rather than wearing it on the outside. You're still observing a mitzvah. I mean, you know, wearing a kippah is not a commandment. It's a cultural
custom.
It's a custom that indicates religious observance, and it is more often than not accompanied with wearing your tzitzit, right? So, so you wear your tzitzit on the inside, you put on your toupee kippah, and off you go, and no one knows, okay? And you're still ticking the boxes, so to speak. Now, it says, quote, this skull cap is washable. You can brush it. You can dye it. It was created so people would feel comfortable going to places where they were afraid to go or places that they can't wear it and feel secure. So there's, as I said, they're still ticking the boxes. And there, so this was, you know, I said to you, you know, we should definitely patent this idea, but someone's already done it and it's out there.
Oh, they got it. They already got it. And so I guess you could, there are a lot of these hair care, you know, markets for men where, you know, that's the big deal is like, hey, this looks real. It feels real. You can wash it. You can dry it. You can style it. So I guess this guy said, hey, I see the market. I think we could do this because, you know, a lot of male pattern baldness begins in that spot on the back of the head on men. And you know, it looks like it's perfect. You could just put a kippah on the same color as your hair.
Yeah.
Wow. Bada bing, bada bang. You got it going on.
And there it is. And it's not like I could do one of these. I've got a big bald patch happening right there. And it's not like I'm putting on a toupee. Hey, this is part of my religious observance. Leave me alone. Okay, now.
That's right.
The important thing is here right now. Let me read this. This is in the article. Devout Jewish men traditionally wear skull caps as a sign of respect and reverence for God. Rabbi Shlomo Avner, who teaches at a prominent Jerusalem yeshiva, said that Jewish skull caps must be visible and not hidden, but added that under certain unforeseeable circumstances, such as risk of attacks, the magic kippah may be valid. There it is. That beautiful.
Wow.
He goes on to say, our sages said that, for example, when we are in danger, it is possible to hide it. He said, adding that the wearer should consult his own rabbi for guidance. But there you go. There's a rabbi has weighed in on the topic. And I think, now this, admittedly, this is kind of a toupee. But if it's good enough for a toupee, then why not a clip-on man bun?
I say there's no end to this. I can see all sorts of marketing derivatives based on this one rabbi's ruling. Now, are there other rabbis who are willing to step into this fray? I mean, I certainly would be a little bit timid of weighing in on this if I were a rabbi because of all the backlash that could come.
Anything that's sort of some sort of hair, a covering over your own hair, will that serve as a kosher kippah? This is the question, and at least this article goes some way to answer that, and it seems like it's a plausible thing.
Hey, I think it's just endless what we could do with this, Jonah. We really ought to give some thought to this because, you know, there's a market for it, and you and I honestly need some help with this, and maybe there's somebody out there that could help us think through this. Just because someone else is doing it doesn't mean we can't. So.
That's right. So far we've had no rabbi comment. Now's your chance, okay? We've readdressed this. We would like to hear from you. We want to hear a rabbi. You can respond on our Facebook page, Israel on My Mind Facebook page. We would love for you to get in contact with us and give us your opinion. That is all the time that we have for this week's show, Ross.
Oh, man. Well, look, do you want me to just stay in touch with you so you know I'm okay?
You better do that because I'm a little bit concerned. I really do think that you should stay inside. I don't think you should go out at night.
Okay, I'll see you November 11th. Come get me. Would you bring the bus by here and pick me up?
I'll be there soon. All right, my friend. Thank you, dear listeners, for tuning in. We hope that Ross will be here next week to do the same. Until then, have a great one.
Hey, pray for me.
Where can you get the inside news on Israel? At Israel News Talk Radio, we're dedicated to sharing Israel's inside story with the world by providing our listeners with news on Israeli politics, current affairs, and Israeli Jewish culture. The Israel News Talk Radio homepage also provides you, the listener, with useful information at your fingertips, with scrolling news headlines, weather, currency exchange, Shabbat candlelighting times, and so much more. Our radio programming is always accessible and on demand. We operate absolutely free of charge for everyone, everywhere. If you love what we do, partner with us now by becoming an Israel News Talk Radio supporter. With your support, you'll be inscribed on our Israel News Talk Radio Wall of Fame. There's nothing like us in the world. Be part of something great. Israel News Talk Radio, straight talk from Israel.
Howdy, this is Rita from League City, Texas, now living in Israel. And though my heart may have belonged to Texas, it now belongs to Israel and all the fantastic show hosts at Israel News Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Michael Solomon from Kiryat Arba, Israel. And why do I love listening to Israel News Talk Radio? Because I love listening to the interesting interviews they do and their news reporting that most other media sources don't cover.
Hey, this is Nicole Eko from Malmo, Sweden. It gets pretty cold here in Sweden, so I love cuddling up with a warm cup of tea while I listen to Israel News Talk Radio.
Hey, everybody, this is Frank Morris from Tennessee. Me and my dog Buster really love listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
News, opinion, and more. You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.